I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Because the aforementioned Fred Bottomer is not here, it's been a little bit harder for me to catch up on things today. But we did have Mary Elizabeth Coleman, the state senator, shared this with me. I guess the Supreme Court did reinstate some of the abortion law that was passed last year. So we're going to probably get caught up on that tomorrow. A little bit later in this hour, we have Elliot Davis, former Fox 2 reporter. You know, to say he's retired, he's not really retired because he's doing some great independent journalism over on Facebook, etc. We'll get an update on the tornado siren story and a bunch of other things related to the city and the mayor. Elliot is on top of that. Right now, J. Peter Zane back with us, editor at Real Clear Investigations. He writes at Real Clear Politics. Peter, how are you? Welcome back to the show.
Oh, thanks so much. I'm doing great. Actually, it's my birthday today, and I'm going out to dinner with my wife at a too expensive restaurant, which
happy
I hope she's going to pay for.
Well, yeah, of course. Happy, happy birthday. That's outstanding.
Thank you.
How would you say, you know, let me share a little story with you because I want your opinion of where we are in this administration right now, and I want to talk about some media stuff. But I made the mistake, and I probably should not have done this, but last week I reached out to a friend of mine, and it was a guy that I have known for, oh, I'd say 25 years. He became a friend in Milwaukee, and the one thing that we bonded on was Bruce Springsteen. I've been a fan of Springsteen since 1981 when I saw him here at the Checkerdome. And what I've said on the air and I've said over the years, because people, you know, you work on a conservative radio station, people tease you about someone like that. And I've said, look, I've seen the guy in concert in the mid-40s, like 45, 46 times. And the number of times I've heard him preach to me about politics is very, very few times. Now, I know where his politics are, right? I know he hangs with Obama. I know that the songs certainly have political meanings. But what I said to this friend is he lost me because I feel like it's intellectually dishonest. And I understand people don't like Trump, and I get the behavior thing. I never liked Trump either. But I felt like it was intellectually dishonest that someone like Springsteen, and, you know, I guess we see Scott Pelley doing this at a graduation, rips on this administration, but paid zero attention to the dude that was barely functioning for 4 years and probably beyond that, and it was all covered up. And that doesn't even touch the cancer diagnosis thing. It doesn't touch David Zweig's book on COVID, which just came out. So it's really difficult for me to believe anything when it comes to the media these days. But what happened is the friend did not react well. I thought this guy, and he had been on my side of politics, but he said, look, I hated Biden, but I hate Trump and his band of assholes. So there is a lot of that going on. And I don't even know where that puts the American people, Peter, if that makes sense, because there's a lot of stress. People have their opinions. They're dug into their holes. What success level is the administration having? Because I see a guy that's doing a lot more than any other president's done. You might not like it all, but he's getting shit done, right?
Can you say that?
I said it anyway, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a lot to unpack there. But to respond to one thing you just said, so I was at dinner on Saturday with a guy who was complaining about Trump's tariffs, and no economist thinks the tariffs are a good idea. And I said, I'm a free trade guy from way back, so I don't like tariffs either. But I said, how do you feel about union contracts that force people to pay a prevailing wage? What's the difference between a tariff, which is a sort of coercive way to affect prices that's outside the market, and unions and prevailing wage and whatever. Oh, I don't know. And I'm not even saying I'm right on that. But in other words, he couldn't even enter into a discussion about that. But I said, let's just take a step back. Whatever you're saying about the economy, we owe $38 trillion. The interest on the debt alone is over $1 trillion. So I give Trump credit, at least. I don't know if he's really going to fix it, but for at least returning that to the conversation. Because honestly, what you're complaining about is small beer in some ways, mm-hmm, compared to the massive problems that we have that nobody outside of Trump has even thought to address in Washington. So I give him credit for, I would say I give Trump tremendous credit for at least introducing certain ideas. Whether he'll actually make any headway in fixing how inefficient the government is, because I mean that to me was really what the whole DOGE effort. It didn't save a lot of money, but it's like how messed up the entire accounting system is, how they have no tags to know where expenditures were going, the failure of the Pentagon to pass any audits. I mean, that at least is something we ought to be talking about.
You wrote a column that goes back a few weeks, and I want you to explain this. It talked about, and I remember Elon talking about this a little bit at a news conference, the sign-in button on the IRS homepage, which wasn't where it was supposed to be, right?
Right. It was the sign-in button, you know, in general, you go to a website, it's in the upper right-hand corner, and that's just where we are trained to look for it. It doesn't mean that we're incapable of finding it on the middle of the page where it was, and it was not that hard to find, but it was like a stupid place to have the button. So the DOGE team said, let's just move the button to where the sign-in buttons are on almost every other website, 107 days. They then got the guy to just forget the rules, and they did it in 71 minutes. But it's just, you know, just if we can replace that. Marco Rubio was talking about, and I forget what it was, but he said there was some form, it needed 40 signatures before it can go through the system.
But just
number 35 isn't there. It just sits. I mean, who thinks these things up?
Well, I want to highlight this again in case people missed it. So it's a button. You would think, oh, that's an easy fix. And in the end, it was 71 minutes. But the IRS engineer estimates that it would take 103 days or 107 days just to move the button. That's just stunning that that would be the response.
Well, because of all the people that need to sign off and all the agreements. So, you know, if you think about it, you're making a major change to some degree on the website of the IRS homepage. So think how many people want to have a say on whether or not that gets done. I mean, it's ridiculous. And I think that he, like I say, I am not convinced that he has reformed government in any meaningful way, but I appreciate at least making us for a while, and hopefully we will continue to do this, to talk about these things. I think he's been really successful also. I don't know that I agree that Harvard should have all their money taken away or, you know, all these people being removed from the government, but there's been massive institutional takeover by the left. They control all of these institutions, and they are what they think and do is probably rejected by 75% of the American people. So I don't know how you dislodge what we call the elites, what we call the deep state, from the government. But I know that what they do is often at cross purposes, not always, but a lot of times, to what the American people want. And you know, taking all the money away from Harvard, I mean, is that, if you just looked at it in isolation, is that a good idea? Maybe not. But do we need to do something to give these people a wake-up call? Because how they're training America's youth is wrong? Yes.
Yeah, so I agree with that. And on the Harvard front, I think that the number that sticks out is the $53 billion endowment. Because I don't care what Harvard does, they can do whatever they want. But should they do it on the taxpayer dole when they have that much sitting in an account? Now, I suppose there are people from Harvard, the regents or professor would say, look, we are putting, and I'm sure that there's some money that's going there that is being put to good use for research, for science, for things that we need in the future. There's no doubt about that. But to your point, there's so much brainwashing that goes on. And I'll give you just a small example. And my audience has heard me tell this story about this journalism professor at Mizzou. I had this amazing audio that I was going to share. And then the father of the young man who shared it kind of panicked because, you know, and I got it. He didn't want his, you know, kid to have any retribution. But I can quote you, one of the things that this professor, who's a journalism professor, said on the day after the election is, capitalism is idiotic. That's a direct quote.
Right.
Capitalism is idiotic. And that's not an isolated situation at the University of Missouri. That's the majority of these people in academia and what they think.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, so on the one hand, this is what these people who spend a lot of time looking at things and thinking have come to believe. So I will respect that to some extent. But on the other hand, they've also created a mafia where, you know, in the last 40 years, they only hire like-minded people. So you start to get just this consensus of views through not having academic freedom. So that's another thing. So, you know, all of these ideas get pushed out. Due process, rule of law, academic freedom. And they're all wonderful principles that I think conservatives would heartily endorse, except that they become corrupted. And so when you've corrupted academic freedom so that it's a tool to exclude actual freedom of thought, then it needs to be attacked. When you're using due process to make the claim that people who have come into this country illegally should get a lawyer paid for them for 5 years to go through a court system that may or may not figure out what's going on with them, you're abusing what due process is, in my opinion. And I think that so one of the things that I try to do with my liberal friends when we're having these discussions is don't just say rule of law. Don't just say due process. What do you mean by that? Do you think every person who got a foot over the border here deserves Clarence Darrow to defend them on the taxpayer's dime? I mean, well, what do you mean by it? And they often have no answer.
Right, right. Well, like I've quoted Batyangar Sargon, who's a guest on this show. She was on Laura Ingraham's show as I was driving home like a week ago. And she said, and this kind of goes back to my original point about trusting the media, because we would maybe in different, you know, situations be able to have discussions about these topics and have legitimate debates. But Batya said something like, this is a media that paid more attention to a fake P tape than 11 million people coming over the border. So going back to the point that I was making with my friend, and it didn't end well because I thought he was going to agree with me and he did not. And then I said, look, dude, I apologize because I wasn't trying to start anything. I was just trying to make a point about Springsteen, because I think it's intellectually dishonest to not pay attention to the things that have happened. And now we're in this period in the last 2 weeks where all of this has come out, that a lot of us, Peter, you've written about it, a lot of us have known things that were going on behind the scenes that CBS and CNN and ABC, they never wanted to touch. So on this front, don't you just kind of feel, let's just talk about DOGE. They don't want to talk about actual cuts or fraud and abuse. They just cannot wait to tell people, oh, he didn't really save any money or this happened. That's their sole motivation. Why wouldn't a Democrat or someone that just has a brain say, you know what, we need to look at some of these standard operating procedures, just the inefficiencies in government. This is about time we have this conversation. I mean, we should have had it 40 years ago and we've maybe tried, but we're actually having the conversation. But they don't want any part of that because they hate this guy so much.
They're so dug in and they're so committed to all the rotten things that they've said about him that they can't all of a sudden turn around and say, oh, well, he's a decent guy. I would say one of the, or he's somebody who might have a point. I mean, I would say one of the other really difficult issues is, as somebody who's in the media, who reads all these websites all the time, it's very frustrating to me. You take the stories about, you know, Trump and crypto and the money and, you know, the meme coin dinner and all of that. And there's a lot there that, like, really just doesn't sit right with me. But I don't trust the New York Times and the New Yorker when they're telling me that he's, you know, this kleptocrat, and in part because they did it all before. But, you know, so it's frustrating because you're reading information, and I don't just want to be a closed-minded person that dismisses everything they say. But on the other hand, I have no basis for trusting them.
Right. Well,
and
so
that's very frustrating.
And it's sad, too. I think it's sad in the end. So what happened, let me just go back to this conversation, because really it caught me off guard that my friend reacted the way that he did. And then I apologized and he accepted, you know, my apology. But what I said was, you know, look, how do you trust? Because he said, look, what Trump is doing, this is a quote from the text, what Trump is doing on a daily basis is abhorrent and to me deserves any and all criticism. Okay, that's fair. But there was none of that criticism from the right. From the other guy. There was none of that criticism on Kamala. And I can't trust a damn thing that comes out of the Washington Post or the New York Times or a lot of these other outlets. So where does that leave us? I mean, how do you even have conversations that are civil and that can get things actually solved in this country? I mean, that leaves us in a very, very sad place. And, you know, you can say whatever you want about Trump. I've said this before when he said the media is the enemy of the people. I thought that was ridiculous. I no longer think that's ridiculous. And even in the aftermath of Jake Tapper and Alex Thompson's book, I played a piece of audio from a week ago. It was a week ago today that was on PBS. And if I would have played that audio to you and said, hey, when did this discussion take place? You would have said a year ago. But it was in the aftermath of all these revelations coming out. So they're still covering this stuff up, acting like it didn't happen. And they know that the audience isn't going to pay attention to the other stuff because they hate Trump so much.
Yeah, I mean, I think you really are hitting on a really difficult situation because there is no having a conversation with them. They have, and again, I think they've almost, I always use the analogy of Tawana Brawley was a big scandal, this young woman
sure.
who claimed that she had been abducted and raped because she was afraid because she didn't come back home that her stepfather would get mad at her. And it was a huge thing in New York in the 80s, and Al Sharpton made his bones there and a couple of other people. And I think at some point they knew Tawana Brawley was lying, but they were too invested in her story to admit it. And I really think that what's just happened with the media and the left is that they are so invested in the Trump negative story that they can't have a rational conversation with you. I was talking to somebody just the other day, and I said, you know, because what they always say is, well, both sides lie. Both sides do this. And I said, look, Russiagate, the Hunter Biden laptop, COVID lab leak, Joe Biden being a sentient person.
All these
I said,
things.
These are massive lies that the left has perpetrated and the media. What is an equivalent that Republicans lie, everybody lies. What's an equivalent, just one thing? Well, I can't name it right now. And I said, you can't because there isn't.
Look, I'll give you even more of a real-life example that happened yesterday. Yesterday or Sunday, I can't remember, that was the anniversary of George Floyd. Now, they're still right. not telling you the whole story. Liz Collins has been a guest on this show before. She did a great film called The Fall of Minneapolis. Even if you watch the first 10 minutes, I'd love to have some of my left-wing friends sit down and watch the first 10 minutes of that movie to see the actual body cam from the convenience store and other things that we were lied to. And yesterday, they're celebrating this guy again, not sharing the whole story. But to your point, it's another story that they were so heavily invested in. Mike Brown here in St. Louis. There are still people that right. believe hands up,
the
don't shoot.
Giant.
Yeah, they still believe that to this day because that was the narrative.
You know, going back, I live in North Carolina, the Duke lacrosse case. And that's another point is that, and this is where, you know, why it makes sense to go after Harvard in a way. I think that the colleges, the elite colleges, have corrupted our leaders so much that they just embrace a false narrative about how the world works, and they're not smart enough, and that is all I can conclude. They are not smart enough to find a way out of it, because you would think after Duke lacrosse, Michael Brown, that they would start to go, well, wait a minute, you know, I don't think the media is being straight with me. They did a story the other day, the New York Times, on police shootings since George Floyd of people have gone up. Okay? And you're reading the story and you're like, wow, well, one thing that would tell me is despite all the things that you did, maybe, in fact, most of these police shootings were totally legitimate and the number didn't go down because this is what happens when you're out there policing people who want to hurt you. So deep in the story, there was a little line and it said, the police shootings of unarmed suspects has declined by 2/3.
Oh, look at that. Look at that.
So that should have been the lead of the story, is that there was a fraction of the deaths at police hands that were of unarmed people, and it was started the years, a couple of years before George Floyd. But since then, it has gone down. That's a real triumph. They buried that and instead wanted to pretend that, you know, mostly red state cops are just, it's killing season.
When we had Cori Bush here, she would do these profile interviews. It was in our local paper. It would be in the Washington Post. She'd make these claims. Our former mayor did the same thing. Many African-American leaders, oh, they're killing our black boys. Are you kidding me? It's not the cops. And even the Washington Post, if you dig in, they've kept this data since, I think, Mike Brown, where they you know, chart all the police shootings. Go and open that thing up. Read the context of what actually happened and the amount of times that there was an unarmed or there wasn't an actual threat to the cops is minuscule. Now, that's not to say there weren't bad cops. And we know that the history, if you go back, certainly before things were kept on camera, there were people that were treated atrociously. And those cops should be punished for that. But it's the narrative doesn't fit the facts. That's the bottom line.
Right. And yet they continued to advance it. And they continued. And that, again, I think that the real lesson of this Biden story is, why did they do this? Because they thought they could get away with it. And let's be honest, if
they almost
she
did.
Had won,
yep.
Who would have been writing these stories?
Nobody. Certainly not Jake Tapper. That's for damn sure. I'll tell you that. Hey, I feel like I got you all worked up on your birthday, Peter Zane. But happy birthday. Enjoy the dinner with your wife. Love to have you. Thank you so much. We'll see.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks. And get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Attention sports enthusiasts. Keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. TNCs apply.
Yeah. not in the studio here, but she always takes a walk in Forest Park, and tonight is the night that she's taking a walk in Forest Park. And I have not been over there to see the devastation. Obviously, I've seen some video and some pictures. Elliot Davis is here, retired Fox 2 investigative reporter. He's doing great work, independent journalism on Facebook and elsewhere. We're going to talk a little bit about the aftermath of the tornado. And it's just devastating for so many people. I haven't seen, Elliot, a lot of the visual damage myself because I live in a part of West St. Louis County that does not have or didn't have a lot of damage. But this is really putting the hurt on a lot of people. And you've been out there one-on-one talking to some of the victims. I know that. How are you this afternoon?
Good. I've been out there every day.
Yeah.
I think I retired at the right time, and that allows me to be able to be out there almost from morning till the evening, covering various stories. And even though I cover the officials like the mayor's news conference, I've focused a lot of my time on being out there in the community with the people, talking to people whose home has been leveled. We talked to one lady, for example, who pitched a tent next to her destroyed home. Her house was just no more than just a lot of bricks, basically. And she pitched a tent because it was her property, and that's where she wanted to live. We were able to get her some help in her situation. She hadn't seen any city officials come by there to check on her. She needed a porta potty, elderly lady, but she needed some help. And it was a real challenge. And that's the whole thing that a lot of these people are saying, who their homes have been destroyed. A lot of them have dealt with a lot of damage, but they say they have not seen city officials out there to talk to them. In fairness, the city has been very active from night one of the storm. They were out there, first responders were, but their primary mission in the beginning was trying to save lives, trying to save people who may be buried under the rubble.
So I have a niece who lives here in St. Louis. She's got a boyfriend. They live in separate apartments, and the boyfriend's apartment was pretty much flattened. And, you know, he talked to his landlord, I think, in the immediate aftermath of the storm. And here we are a couple weeks later, and there's no communication with the landlord. Now, I bring that up because he is able to stay with my niece. And that's a good thing for him, right? And Jeff Rainford was on my show last week. He had to stay at some friends' homes as well. So there's that part of the situation where some people have friends, they have family members, they have resources. But there's a whole hell of a lot of people that you've been talking to out there. They don't have that. That kind of goes to the issue of pitching the tent, right? What do? They don't have anything else they can do at this point.
It's a challenging situation. Today, for example, the Board of Aldermen held an emergency meeting. At that meeting, they started the process of passing a bill to give some help to some tenants paying first month's rent, last month's rent, and others who may not be forced out of their homes. It would give them, I think it would pay rents of something of between $500 and about $900. That's what the bill sponsor, Rasheen Aldridge, told me. And so that would help them to a limited extent, but the fund only has $160,000 in it, and so they're really limited on the number of people that they can help. I think 5,000 buildings were damaged in this whole thing. And so a lot of them, obviously, people can't live in. And so one of the real questions is trying to figure out, how do you help these people? A lot of these people, they're just they're in survival mode. Many don't have a house. Many are staying other places. But many, even their relatives, didn't have resources. And so you have people who are trying to stay with other people. And even though they didn't have that kind of tornado damage, they're still poor and struggling. One of the things that I've been pushing, and I've been doing, talk to all of them about it, talk to the mayor about it. What about using the Rams settlement
That's
money?
That's what I was going to ask you about. Yeah.
They have $290 million in that RAM settlement money. And I said, well, why can't you give the people who've lost homes or people who can't get in their homes, a $2,000 stipend just to help them survive? The answer I get is that we're studying it. We're looking. Everything is on the table. I asked the mayor, and today I asked the alderman at their meeting about that same question. So they've got the two bills, one a bill to give them something, and it would also freeze property taxes, I think. But the big thing is that, what about this Rams money? It's not been spent. It's just been sitting in the bank, $290 million. If you're not going to use some of it now, then when? Carve out $2 or $3 million to help these people. It can go a long way to help these people survive. I don't know if they're going to do it or not.
But it's one of those issues. Let's take the tornado out of it, because we've talked a lot about that Rams settlement money up until the point of this tornado. It's baffling that in the aftermath of this, you know, we can't, unfortunately, and we can get to the siren issue here. One of the things that I tweeted out a couple of weeks ago, we can't, you know, get 911 calls answered. We can't get trash picked up, right? We know what happened during the snowstorm. And now we can't press a damn button to tell people that a tornado is coming. And sorry, for me, that represents so much, sadly, about what this city has become. Now, I'm not tagging Kara with any of this. She's a new mayor that's got a lot on her plate, and I think she's doing an okay job right now based on what I know. But there were a lot of things that built up to this that the Board of Aldermen won't accept any responsibility for and could have at least gotten ahead of. I'm not talking about tornado damage. I'm just talking about everything else.
Well, you wonder, how do we get in such a situation like this at SEMA, where what Kara Spencer found out, Mayor Spencer found out in her investigation, was there was not correct protocol on who was supposed to push the button and when stuff was supposed to happen. And so the director of SEMA and her staff were at a workshop the day of the storm. They're at a workshop, right, when there are all kinds of storm warnings out. Now, how does that figure? How do you do that, right? Big storm's coming. Well, let's have a workshop.
Well, not only a workshop, and you and I could either agree or disagree on this, but I would say it was a woke workshop. And in some of the wording from the website, you know, that Joe Holloman exposed, just makes you say, are you kidding me that that's where they were when this happened?
That's where they were when it happened. And it points to the lack of urgency at SEMA. They have to know the system, the protocol hadn't been completed, that there were gaps in the system. They had to know that, but didn't correct it, didn't do everything that was necessary. So we'd have an absolutely flawless, just as flawless as can be, when trouble struck. We knew it was coming. That's the thing about it. It was a matter of pushing a button. Well, they had two buttons, one in SEMA, one at the fire department. Mm-hmm. One at the fire department didn't work. But in SEMA, you would have thought, we know a storm is coming. Let's make sure we are there. One thing that I would say, that the only, if there is a bright light on this whole thing, is how the community has come together. I've been over in North St. Louis to all these areas where the heaviest damage is. You have residents who will take it upon themselves to go to Walmart or Sam's or someplace else and get water and toiletries and everything just to stand on the street corner and give it out to folks. And so you have that happening all over in neighborhoods that normally are known for just trouble and violence, right, and all right. Those kinds of things. But you've had in these same neighborhoods people just coming out. I was driving down the street, I think it was West Florissant, and they had on every corner somebody giving out stuff, somebody helping. And this is what has really kept these tornado sufferers going. People who have lost their homes have been damaged. This is really what's kept them going, is getting that generosity of their north side neighbors, and people have come from the outset, but predominantly it's been the people from the north, from North St. Louis, that has come out. All kinds of just folk. I was at Peter and Paul Community Services together. It's a big homeless shelter. They are taking in 100 people who lost their homes or homes are severely damaged. And I went over there. I interviewed one of the people who was over there. Let mention this, by the way. They're having a big fundraiser, and anybody who wants to donate can go to Peter and Paul STL, and they'll get all the information on it. But you have so many people. The Urban League, Mike McMillan, they had a huge food giveaway. 3,000 people were fed, right? They get boxes of food, toiletries, everything to last them. And that was held on this Saturday. They're going to do it every Saturday for four Saturdays. Hope Nation International Church, they've been having cooking dinners every single day, giving away a lot of items across from apartment buildings that everybody was thrown out of, couldn't go to their homes and had to go to the shelter. So many St. Louisans are stepping forward, to deal with this that has been the worst disaster, one of the worst disasters in the city's history.
Doesn't it, you know, one of the things I'm disappointed in, and you know the news business, and you know better than I do probably, but we did not get hardly any national attention on this disaster. I mean, some of it came because of the siren, you know, fiasco, but we just didn't get a lot of focus. I'm going to have the Red Cross on tomorrow. That kind of hurts us when it comes to people, because people in this country are generous. We've helped out here in St. Louis when there's been hurricanes in North Carolina or in Florida. People would want to help, but man, we did not get on the map for this terrible, terrible tornado.
Pretty much, I can't explain it. I think, obviously, St. Louis is a major city. How often does a tornado touch down in a major city like this? So I really can't understand why it didn't happen. It hit in a poor area. I don't know if that was a factor. It hit in a pretty poor African-American area. Whether yeah. that a factor? I don't know. Could it have been? Possibly. But I do not know why it didn't get the coverage. Now, the same tornado could have hit in some other areas and it gotten all kinds of coverage.
Yeah, yeah. How do you think Mayor Spencer is doing, either inside of this or outside of this? Only a month on the job, though.
Okay. You know me. I came on the radio a number of times before this disaster hit, and I was pretty much slamming Mayor Spencer about law enforcement, about many other things I was slamming her about, being a progressive. I think Mayor Spencer has done a good job. I think she's done a top-flight job. I think that people often are born for a moment in life. This may be hers. She seems to have risen to the challenge. Just, for example, a FEMA director, when the siren screw-up happened, she wasted no time in suspending that person from the job. She has been out there in the community walking around, checking on what she could and having a news conference every day so that we in the media can ask her questions about any issue, every issue, whether it was the FEMA money, the National Guard, and when the money was going to get to people. Every issue, she's been there. She's been talking about it. She hasn't dodged questions like this. She handled this, the siren issue, for example. Right. She says, even though it did not happen on her watch, what impressed me is she says, I accept responsibility. And it even happened on her watch. Yeah. It happened on the last person.
Right. Well, Sue and I had talked about this because one of the things that I said, and I like Kara personally, and, you know, she's been on the show a few times, but I didn't know if she would have, you know, this word gravitas is used, or really prove herself as a leader. And I'm with you. I think she has stepped up, and she's really done a good job in a very emotional situation and in a tough situation. So this has certainly been a test.
A month on the job.
Right.
Don't forget that.
Well, I know. So this, she's been tested more than probably a lot of mayors would ever be tested in a month on a job. But I think she's doing well, and I think she has support to solve some problems. Look, honestly, I'm more worried about the BOA, because that's where I think things get kooky.
How about the Board of Aldermen?
Yeah.
Well, absolutely. They, like I said, they had an emergency meeting today. I was there, of course. And the emergency meeting was taking up these two measures. I think they could have done more. I mean, they're saying, okay, we're going to give people this money, renters, this money, and some other people can apply, but there's only $160,000 in the fund. Well, the need is going to be much greater than that. And so is this all you can do, is come up with something with a fund of $160,000? To his credit, Alderman Rasheen Aldridge says they're going to ask Mayor Spencer to kick $1 million more into that fund to make it $1,160,000. So that's that's a little bit more promising. And I would have said, well, why don't you guys do all this from the start? And the other is that, well, we're going to help try to give you a break on property taxes. My view would have been, guys, we got $290 million in the RAMS fund sitting there doing nothing. Why don't we carve out $10 million of it to help people in this situation? And help people with hotels, or give cash stipends, or whatever we can do. We can carve out $10 million and can go a long, long way. But nobody's doing anything like that yet. And they're saying, well, we're going to get to that. People are struggling.
People need help now. They need help now,
single,
right?
They really do every single day.
Elliot, keep on them and guide people. And I follow you on Facebook. Is that the best place to find the content these days?
That's the best. Yeah. Oh, you can just call me on the phone.
Well, I know.
On my cell phone. So there we go.
Elliot Davis TV on Facebook. Thank you, Elliot. Always great.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. We got audio cut of the day coming up.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Attention sports enthusiasts, keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games, offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
Time left, but got to do audio cut of the day.
Stand by. Playback ready. Now, the audio cut of the day.
So we've well established here that Jake Tapper is a buffoon, but he's out there hawking this new book with Alec Thompson. And I thought this was a very interesting moment with Piers Morgan and what he admitted.
This brings me to your conclusion, which said Joe Biden is not Richard Nixon. The hiding and the cover-up of his deterioration is not Watergate. I'm not entirely sure I agree, Jake, with that conclusion. Yeah,
well,
I'm not entirely
the
sure.
The next line is it is an entirely separate scandal. It is a scandal.
Yes.
It is without question, and maybe even worse than Watergate in some ways.
Right.
Because Richard Nixon was in control of his faculties when he wasn't drinking. And, you know, so the idea that we don't mean to exonerate. The only reason that we have the Watergate thing is there because we quote Archibald Cox, who was a Watergate investigator, talking about how powerful the presidency is and how presidents get surrounded by people who have a vested interest in keeping that president propped up. So that's the only reason we invoke Watergate, is just to make clear, like, it's not Watergate.
Right.
This is an entirely separate scandal. Maybe even worse.
Yeah, I think arguably it is worse.
Yeah, you know, Piers was trying to make that point, and I think Jake finally came around. I would say I agree. Arguably even worse. We're back tomorrow at 3. Have a great Tuesday evening.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Audacy podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.